Hello, and welcome to the presentation Troax Group AB first quarter 2023 report call. My name is François, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this conference is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I'll now hand you over to your host, Thomas Widstrand, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you everyone who is listening in. Thanks for taking your time. As usual, I will present on the quarterly results. As usual also, I will follow a bit of a report that we have done to summarize and in a simple way how the development has been. For those of you who have access to the internet, you can find this on our own homepage, troax.com, and you'll find it under Investors, and under that you'll find it under Reports, and then of course Q1 2023. If you don't have it, I think you will be able to follow what I'm saying in any case, but could be a little bit easier than, of course, if you follow this report. First quarter presentation, we start with talking very briefly about active and aware. This was explaining a little bit how we are working right now, that we try to be very active towards the customers as regards safety and guiding them and helping them in finding the right safety solution. Obviously aware is that we try to make the customers aware then of the safety possibilities. We have recently come out with one or two in our niche of the business, quite interesting new development, which makes then that we can increase then the safety standards for those who are interested to do that. We think that this will be something which will become even more interesting as more and more companies and persons will understand that there are bigger opportunities for a higher safety standard than what it is today. With this short introduction, I then go into what we do, and of course, we are safe and sound on solid ground. Then I come to a few pictures which are normally then describing what we are doing. Obviously we are working with safety nets or perimeter guarding, as we call it. The first, let's call it segment that we're working with is what we call machine guarding, which is approximately 60% of our turnover. A typical example of what we're doing is this page here, this picture where you can see, typical, or maybe not typical, but at least an installation with the car industry. You see then obviously that a lot of robots are working on, in this case, welding and other assembly operations. Of course, you want to avoid that people working outside of the perimeter guarding get hurt. Therefore, of course, you have these kind of installations to make sure then that your people are safe and sound. This is also what's growing the most, I would say. I'll come later to the main drivers, but I would say that due to the continued mechanization and so forth, this is of course an interesting future growing segment. Next one, when we talk about product segments is what we call warehouse partitioning. It's approximately 30% of our turnover. For those of you who have the page open, you can see here that this picture, which shows not a full automated warehouse, but a more traditional warehouse where you see then people and running on or running, but they are working on handling forklift trucks, and they are working then with so many operations on the other side of the fence. This, I would say, is a typical example of a more traditional warehouse, where we install everything from the shelves, which you have on the pallet racks, and also the net guarding you have on the backside of the racks to prevent and just what you have on the shelves from falling down. Then of course you have the dividers between the people who are working then with forklift trucks and the people who are working with other types of assembly or dispatch parts. And I go to the third one, which is called property protection. Well, and this is the one where we actually got started many years ago. This is not so much of safety from, you know, protecting people. It's more to protect them, of course. Bicycles, luggages, and whatever you and I have that you don't keep in your flat every time. So this is, of course, primarily then aimed for multi-story flats where you might have in your cellar then a cage where you and your family then can put your things which you don't use at the moment. So this is, as I said, approximately 10% of our turnover, and it's primarily a North European and parameter or an installation. Then the next page shows what we call automated warehouse, and it's a variant of the warehouse installations, obviously, but we are mainly using then the machine guarding, which are more connected with the machines or robots. And obviously, and then what the name implies is that this is much more automated, either than that there are no people at all working there, or at least there might be some maintenance people, but it's nevertheless, by definition, very few people working with it. Transport of goods to and fro, and the different shelving, which are the primarily place where they keep the stuff. We don't show this officially as a segment, but this is a combination and of what I said with machine guarding and with warehousing. Last year, this was growing very much, at least the beginning of the year. So we had quite a big turnover of that. But as I said, we have communicated several times already this year. We think then that this quite interesting segment, long term, will not have a very good development since these big international customers have, as I call it, overinvested during 2021 and perhaps into 2022 as well, which means that they have clearly indicated that the big projects which they are planning won't take place in 2023, they will come in 2024 or later. But nevertheless, it's still a very interesting segment for us long term. Jumping down to sales per region, now we're talking about 2022 and not the first quarter. And this is mainly for you who are not so acquainted with us, but we had a turnover last year of some 284 millions of euro, and euro is the common denominator for currency. We had an operating profit of 51 million and an EBITDA of 18%. And you can see that the sales per region of mainly Europe is 50%, North America is 17%. Nordic 13, etc., etc. You can read for yourself. So the strategy is, of course, to get bigger in the areas outside of the Nordic area, of the European area. And then if you look at the business area, which I've already described, you have this 60-30-10, which you saw previously on the pages shown. The year in brief, last year, we are a growth company and we should grow, but to be honest, 2022 didn't come with so much organic growth. It mostly came with growth from a pricing point of view. We increased pricing because of the steel price increases. So 2022 was actually quite turbulent year, and we hope that 2023 will be much more stable. And the first quarter has indicated that it started in a more stable way. Our relative market share versus our biggest competitor is that we assess them that we are three times larger approximately than the number two players. We are in 45 countries and we are obviously then the market leader in this niche of safety which we call indoor perimeter protection, or you can call it mesh panel solutions. If we go to the next page, we talk about financial targets. And regarding sales growth, we don't officially say that we should grow with X percent per year, but we have historically had an organic growth, excluding them obviously, acquisitions of some 8, 9, 10%, maybe 11 if you, depends on how you calculate the years. And I'm normally saying then that going forward, there is not, of course, any promises also, but we don't see anything which says that we could not continue to grow in those kind of figures, as we do expect the market to continue to grow with some 4-6% per year. And on top of that, we normally take market share every year. So by that, we come to these kind of figures I tried to explain before. And in a second, I'll come to the drivers, which I already a little bit touched upon. And those are the things that makes us then enjoy the growth of the market, irrespectively of how we are doing it. For the first quarter, then we didn't have a good organic growth. It was actually minus 4%. We had a slight positive from smaller acquisition we did last year. But I would say then that we should bear in mind and that we've had this very extreme growth in 2021, where we organically grew with 40%. And now we are growing into this bigger volume. And as I said before, on top of this, we have this information that the automated warehouse, which 2021 was approximately 20% of our turnover, and now more or less has disappeared for projects for 2023. Our target is to have an operating margin then of 20% or higher, and now we are talking about the EBITDA margin. And we reached for the first quarter 18.7%, which is a decent figure, not yet up to where we want to be exactly, but it at least shows development in the right area. We increased gross margin. The thing which is hampering us a little bit is, of course, and that some of our production units have had less to do because of this volume decrease for automated warehouse, and especially our Polish acquisition that we did 2.5 years ago. They've been suffering a little bit from loss of this kind of volume, and that, of course, has a negative impact on the both the gross margin and on the operating margin. But we think there are still possibilities to continue to improve this. Net debt is not a major issue for us. Actually, so we have a very good relationship between net debt in relation to EBITDA. I think we're even down to 0.5 after the first quarter. So which means that we have an excellent opportunity to continue to grow, regardless if it is organic growth or if it is, you know, acquisition. So the issue with the acquisition is more to find the right acquisition, if we then find it, or at least within a certain framework, we wouldn't have any problem, I think, to finance that. Dividend, we've just decided today to pay the proposed dividend of 0.32 euros. So for the first quarter, this is not relevant, but since we had the annual general meeting today, I can just confirm that we decided, or the meeting decided, to pay this 0.32, which was also the proposed dividend relating to the profit from 2022. So if we go to the next page and try to summarize then the first quarter, it was done as expected, hampered and by the slower activities within automated warehouse. But I would say that if excluding automated warehouse, just for the sake of understanding, it is positive, and that we see that the rest of the market continues to have good activity levels, and we are actually growing then if you exclude automated warehouse. So that's a good sign, even if, of course, for all of us who read newspapers, there is a possible downturn in the market coming in the coming quarters, or maybe during the year. We have to see about this, but so far during this year, we haven't seen any real changes in activity or demand. We do have seen an improvement of orders within the automotive sector. I have in a couple of previous quarters noticed that the request for quotes were increasing from automotive sector, which of course probably implies an increased possibility of getting new orders, and we have seen increase of orders done in the first quarter, which is first quarter where we've seen this coming. It's not so that there is any dramatic increase of orders, but it's clearly seen a trend change compared with before. Regarding sales invoiced, it's positively influenced still by the net effect due to the steel price increase, which we have then transferred over to our customers with approximately some 6-8% if you want to compare apples and apples. But the steel price have more or less been stable since the summer period. Stable is perhaps a bit too strong word, but it's been stable in the sense that we have more natural fluctuations, which we normally have then quarter by quarter. So during Q1, it went up a little bit, and then the expectations are that it should go down a little bit later during the year. We'll see about that. But these are, at the moment at least, more the normal fluctuations, not the very extraordinary ones that we saw last year in connection with the outbreak of the Ukrainian war. So going to the next bullet point, that we have a positive EBITDA result and margin. And we say then that it's not so, we think it's any fantastic good result. It's not at all, but we think it's quite decent, seen in the light of the turbulent situation and in the quarter, as we was also made aware of, since that was not coming in at all, to only with some smaller projects, and which means then that we were hampered by the lower volume than producing our manufacturing units. Gross margin is starting to approach the targeted levels, which are for us 39-40%. But as I said already, you have to see then that the sales price transfer to customers have been successfully then implemented. But against this is going down, which I already said now several times, somewhat lower volume than in the manufacturing units. I would say that if we look at the regions, I'll come to that in a second, we've seen good sales levels in the Nordic region and also what we call the new markets. Otherwise, it's been a little bit lower sales levels. So for the first quarter, the earnings per share was almost at the same level as last year, despite the weak demand and for the warehouse. Working capital is on expected level, so the inventory is going down now. We had increased that during last year because of the long lead times in connection with, first with COVID and then, of course, with the Ukrainian war. So cash flow was positive in the quarter. And then, as I already partly commented, Natom Logistics Poland has this quarter, and it's similar as was in quarter four, been negatively influenced by the lower activity from the automated warehouse customers. They are the ones who are mostly hit by this. They had a very good development with us first 1.5 year, and after this, of course, it's been more tough for them because of the lack of activity in this specific market where they are operating. The small acquisition we did in Spain called Clytec before the summer last year continued to develop well, and the same goes for the very small one, which is called Svenska Cykelrum, which has products for the bicycle storage. Also went well for the first quarter, and the integration work is ongoing at full speed. This will be a part mainly in the Nordic region and not so much with the other regions, at least not until in a later phase. And during this quarter, we have continued to do the ground preparation for yet another expansion of the facilities in Hillerstorp, Sweden. This extension of the building, we hope to have finalized them by the end of the year. And then we are prepared, of course, over time then to do more machine purchases in order then to cope with hopefully becoming volume increases going forward. And then something which we are not doing so often, we have actually changed the organization a little bit. So we have appointed internally a complete new function for sales and marketing. In practice, you could say that I was doing that before, and of course, I'm not probably the right person to do that. So I'm looking forward now that we have a full-fledged function, so to speak, for sales and marketing, with a very good person who can handle that for the whole group. So that's a positive thing going forward. Going to the next page, we've gone through this indirectly, so I won't go through it so much, but you see, of course, that if you compare the first quarter with the same period last year. You clearly see then in the order intake that these bigger projects within automated warehouse have not come in. So that explains more than the difference compared to last year. Whereas in sales, it's more following than the figures of last year. On the margin, on the other hand, we have increased on the margin totally. And the EBITDA, it is also slightly more improved, or it's improved compared with last year. And if you look at the absolute figures, it's almost on the same level. It's 12.7 million compared with 12.8 last year, despite the fact that we have a little bit lower turnover. So I would say it's a stable start of the year, even if, of course, there are no extraordinary increases seen anywhere. But a stable start. Going to the next page, which I think is interesting for some people. We see here the regional development of order intake and sales, and you see here that the negative impact then of in UK, where we have a number of these big projects, can clearly be seen. Whereas if you go to the sales invoice, you also see in UK that there is a negative impact, but also more in continental Europe. And I would say that there you see then this Polish NATO development explained and indirectly in these figures here. So for the rest, we're doing quite okay, I would say, in continental Europe. As I already said, very strong development in the Nordic region and in new markets. Also, North America is increasing, even if they are also hit by the development in automated warehouse, which means that there will be a little bit. One quarter might be good for North America, one might be a little bit lower, but over time, of course, we should come back to the more steady growth, both in North America and in the group. So totally then, it's a bit disappointing than order intake, but it's more than the whole difference, and more than that is related to the automated warehouse, as I already explained. I go to the next page, we try to do a bit of a conclusion. We have, as previous, continued to receive several important orders in the quarter in all segments from different companies or different customers in different places. So our clear conclusion is, even if we don't have any official figures to relate to, that we are continuing to take market shares. And the orders this quarter is maybe of most importance to communicate, and that is mainly within machine guarding, as the orders for the automated warehouse were weak. And we note on, which I already said, that the orders are increasing from the automotive sector, and it seems like there are finally, and this is a bit late in our opinion, compared to what we thought it would be, but it looks now that also they have decided and that they need to do more investments than because of the new platforms which are obviously coming out for the electrical or hybrid vehicles. Positive development in result reflecting both improved sales cost margins and unfortunately which has also low utilization levels in some of our manufacturing units, not all, but in some of our units. Decent activity levels generally, and we continue with good success in orders in most markets in the first quarter of the year. We have not, during the first quarter, really seen any signs of any major decrease in demand, but of course it's something which we follow closely month by month. And going to the next bullet point, the planned investments, which we've been ongoing now for some time in the Polish acquisition in NATO, is more or less finished. We are then moving also in NATO from another old factory. We bought two old factories. One is closed. We still have one of the old ones left. And we are right now moving part of the remaining ones to the new one that we have acquired and invested in out in Sora, in the, let's call it the western part of Poland. and the integration of Claitec and the Svenska Cykelrum, the small acquisition that we did last year, is ongoing in a good way, so no problem there. So as some sort of summary of the conclusion, we see the total development in quarter is positive. The demand from automated warehouse has been very weak, but indirectly it means that the rest of the business has continued to do quite well. But just to repeat what we said before, we expect the demand from this sector to continue to be weak during the whole year of 2023, even if we do see then that longer term, this will still be an interesting growth opportunity for us. Coming down to the growth factors, which are on the next page, it has not really changed compared with before. We see a main drive, of course, for this, what is called increased industrial automation, regardless if it's done with robots or with other types of mechanization vehicles. There is a continually increased demand for automation. People want to be efficient. They want to grow. They want to be able to compete. And now also we see that some signs of what is called onshoring, meaning that you bring home manufacturing from faraway countries, is ongoing. It doesn't maybe change the world for us so much, because if we get a project in China or Europe, United States, it doesn't really matter so much for us. But of course, if we do it in Europe and United States, it is a little bit easier, of course, to be in control of it. So that's positive. But it's more a general comment than that. Onshoring, we see it's happening, even if there are still more talks than action. But we do see some action at the moment also that this is happening. Then we have the growth in e-commerce, which has been, as I said, substantially in 2019, 2020, and 2021. And now right now we are into some sort of go and stop mode, and it's right now stop, and it should go again in 2024. My gut feeling is, if you have to take it for gut feeling, nothing more, that it might take slightly longer before this gets through, because we are late in the process, and so they need, of course, to erect the building and get started with buying machines for the whole logistic process of e-commerce within the building before they order maybe all the safety equipment and panels that they want from us. So maybe it will take a little bit more time. But I do see that it is very positive in the coming years, if you exclude at least 2023 and maybe the beginning of 2024. Generally speaking, safety and regulation is generally important, but nothing is changing from month to month or quarter by quarter. But of course, overall, this has done a positive impact all the time, because no one wants to get stuck today that they haven't invested small money in this kind of perimeter guarding, which could have then prevented maybe an accident to happen. So this is positive for us all over time, but as I said, doesn't really change from quarter to quarter. Next page shows our production units. Not a lot have happened there. I would say then the Polish one, where we have invested in a lot in a couple of years, we have to get up the capacity utilization going forward. We're not too worried about that, but as I said, 2023 will be a little bit weak. We do have some issues in China, United States, where we long term need to move to bigger premises, but at the moment they're okay. And then we have the main ones in Sweden, where, as I said, we are extending the building right as we speak. So we also have the opportunity, when the demand so requires, to expand and buy just simply buying new machines. Italy is quite okay, and also UK. Next one shows that the Troax Group is working with different, you could call it brand names, but the real brand names are all the Troax Altec folding rod. Natom is really a part of Troax and is sold as a Troax solution. And over time, this Claitec will be part also of a Troax solution, where we integrate their interesting solutions within then the Troax offering to customers. And the bicycle storage, called Svenska Cykelrum, will also be part of the Troax offering. But as a group, this is how we operate today. So, trying to summarize a little bit before I leave you for some Q&A. Safety Tomorrow, we've been working with since 1955, and we do intend to stay in the forefront of this. So for a Safety Tomorrow, we focus, of course, on climate compensating, decrease of energy consumption. We have recertified the ISO, we have regional manufacturing. We are in good situation since 99% of what we're selling are made of steel, which means it could be recycled, which is also happening. We want to have increased and recycled steel long-term or mid-term, and it's of course especially important from a CO2 point of view. We've also shown then that the CO2 consumption per main article is available on our webpage, which indicates for the customers then if they want this to be a deciding factor, even if we are also saying at the same time then that if you want a more sturdier solution, a safer solution, you will use more kilos of steel, which means that steel consumption will be higher. So you have to value then, of course, then the safety versus a little bit of CO2 consumption. When we make new investments, we are, of course, looking into the possibility of using solar panels. I'm sure that will come more in the future. So for the Italian factory, we have which was installed just a couple of years ago, there we have solar panels covered 50% of our energy. Going to the next one, we have what we call the safety center, where we do then tests, and it's based on then, of course, our own development, what we do in our own R&D department, but we also test competitors' products. And we see in all cases then that we are always, from a safety point of view, have a higher standard than what competitors are having. And this is, of course, good because it gives us a lot of courage, of course, to go out to the market and propose to customers good solutions, both from a safety point of view and also, of course, also from a practical point of view, from the customer's point of view. We, of course, let an external body test us so we don't fool the customers. So we use Tifroland to test our processes. And in this segment, and where our lead words are, we protect people, property, and processes. We have now lately, next page, turned out what we think are a very interesting new solution, which we call panel detection, or you can actually then see if there is a missing panel. So when you have bigger installations, where it's not so easy to see on the other end of the installation if there is a missing panel, which could at least theoretically then be harmful for people who are passing by without knowing, and that is a problem. So we've done, we think, a very good solution here, where we then make all the panels connected with each other. And that means then that if there's a break in this circuit, you will then either see then a red light being light, or you could actually connect it also with the customer's own safety system, which means that you can start a robot or start a machine which is inside this parametric guarding. So this will take then the safety standard to a higher level than before, and we're quite proud of that. We're, of course, first in the market to introduce this, and it's, of course, being patented, and we see a good future for this because we think that the big companies with high requirements for safety will be quite interested in this, as this reduces the risk, and it means, of course, that those who are deciding the safety level can sleep well at night, and I think that's also quite important for this kind of decision process. Next one is just to round off a little bit. We are the Iranian since 1955, and safety equals Troax. We want people who are working in possible hazardous areas to come home to the families in a good way every day. So this is really our target, and to help them to work with this. So with this, I'd like to end on this first quarter presentation. And now I'm eagerly waiting your questions. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please ensure your lines are unmuted locally, as you'll be prompted when to ask your question. And our first question comes from the line of Gustav Berneblad from Nordea. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Thomas. It's Gustav here from Nordea.
Hi, Gustav. Hi, Gustav.
Maybe just to dig into the order intake in North America here. Can you expand this a little bit? Maybe give a bit more flavor here?
Yes. Firstly, I would like to say you should be careful when you compare quarter by quarter, because since we have this a little bit erratic order coming in from automated warehouse, historically you could get the wrong conclusion if you just compare, you know, one quarter by quarter. I think you have to see it a little bit longer period. But this quarter looks decent from North America, but you should be reminded that the orders from these automated warehouses have already gone down the last year. So you compare them with a quarter which is actually not very positive from automated warehouses in the U.S. Respect. Whereas in the U.K. And also in the Polish, which is part of continental Europe, you have clearly effects then of orders not coming in 23, where you had the corresponding orders from the ordinary warehouse in 22. That's one thing. And number two, I can say it's quite stable in most places, even if, as I already said, it's in some cases then positively influenced by price increases and not so much by volume. But if you exclude then these kind of bigger international customers working in automated warehouse, there is an increase in orders, albeit not very high, I would say, for the first quarter. So let's see how it becomes now for quarter two and three, and then we can draw some conclusions. But the ordinary business started, I would say, in a stable and decent way.
And if we move to Nordics, then quite solid in the quarter as well. Should we interpret that this the decline in new builds and residential is not really reflected in your order intake yet, or?
Yeah, it's not at all reflected. On the contrary, we've had a very good demand from this sector in the first quarter. We are expecting that there will be some sort of reduction in demand going forward, probably after vacation period, but we don't know. But since we are late in the process, we also see, of course, that the licenses for new build, it's already decreasing substantially. But of course, the projects which are already ongoing, they will try to finalize. And since we are more or less one of the suppliers who are coming at the latest stage of the finalization, we won't see it until in a later stage.
Yeah, okay, perfect. And then you noticed some positive signs in related to automated warehouse among small and medium-sized customers, yeah. you said. Right. What kind of customers are these?
These are more new customers, more or less smaller integrators. You could call it an engineering bureau or engineering company who doesn't have own production, but they make their installations for a bigger end user who could be one of these big end users you read about in the newspapers and we all know about. But it could also be a smaller one. But we see that as a complement to the bigger ones, we have been quite active for a number of years. We also see that some of these smaller ones come up now, showing an interesting development. Having said this, it's of course so that these small ones cannot at all compensate the big ones that have said that they will not give any orders, but it still shows them that there is an increase in a general perception, I would say, that customers are interested to go into automated warehouse, also when they are not these really big retail worldwide companies. So it means, to me, at least my conclusion is that over time, the customer base is increasing, or the potential customer base is increasing.
Yeah, okay, I see. But should we interpret what kind of end market would you assume this is? Is it more like grocery stores or similar to that exposure? Or is it possible to say?
No, it could be not anything, but the grocery is, of course, an obvious one. Clothing is another one. You also have those who deliver components or spares in retails. It could be anything from spares for cars to machines that you and I are using as private persons. Those kind of things you also see. So it's quite widespread, but it, of course, the common denominator is that they have a lot of articles and they have a lot of small end customers in the end.
Okay, I see. Perfect. And then just the final one here on the gross margin heading into Q2. How should one think here? I understand it's very much volume driven, but is Q1 sort of a good proxy for Q2, or should we expect an even more recovery? Would you say?
I think you should see it like we have now got the full effect in Q1 of the price increases made. We see also then that the steel price, which obviously is an important component, has been rather stable in Q1. So I think this is a good denominator for the quarters going forward until then the volume starts to increase again, which of course will help us to cover the fixed costs and indirectly increase the gross margin and the everyday more. So it's a good indicator, I think, going forward. Even if, of course, it can get a little bit ups and down because of steel price, energy price, and whatever. But at the moment, this is a bit typical, I would say, where we are at the moment.
Okay, perfect. That's all for me. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Lingsvitt from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Thomas. So just keeping it at the gross margin, just a touch more. So that would mean that the cost reductions in Poland and Chicago has kicked in already in the gross margin in Q1 then, and not then in Q2.
The main part of that has kicked in already in Q1. Yes, correct. There's a small part still remaining, Daniel, but the main part has kicked in Q1.
Okay. And that would also mean that there's no major difference from selling out old inventory and selling out newly bought inventory.
No, there's no difference in that. No, correct.
Cool. And then just on North America again, but not on the order intake this time around, but on the sales in Q1. The Q1 sales came as a bit of a surprise given the order intake we had in Q3 and Q4. So was there something special in the quarter?
Yeah, there were one or two projects that were postponed by these big automated warehouse customers, but I still wanted one or two of these products to be delivered in quarter one. So that came not as a surprise, but let's say a little bit of a positive thing then during that period from a delivery and invoicing point of view.
Okay, perfect. And then...
We also have, sorry, John, another thing as well. We've had quite decent deliveries also to the automotive industry in the U.S. in the first quarter. Deliveries.
Okay, perfect. So many things that we've been waiting for then quite some time there.
Yeah,
so and then just lastly from my side, on the M&A, I guess now with the EBITA instead of EBIT, and you have put more emphasis on the M&A side. So the questions on that is, have you seen prices come down on objects? And what about competition? Has something changed with the competitive landscape on M&A targets?
We don't see that. As you know, we don't have so many objects, so we could say there's a trend or so. But yes, we can say that the valuation at the moment are more realistic than before, so it's a positive. And we do also have a feeling, it remains to be seen if we can succeed, and that it's more possible today to close these compared with 1 or 2 years before. But this is just, very early stage to say something like this. So nothing might happen this year, but we do see it's that the gap between seller and buying is getting smaller at least. And then you asked about something more on the M&A side. Sorry, I forgot that, Tanya.
Yeah, it was on the competition. Has something changed now with the new financing landscape?
Not really. It's more or less the same as far as we can see. There are a few things happening out there in the market right now. So maybe we will get some new players who are interested. But what we know up until, let's say, the end of the first quarter, nothing has changed.
Perfect. And then just my final on the you have a financial target now, or a target at least on the gross margin of 39% to 40%. Is that just of curiosity? What's been the target before? Has there been changes in this area, or is it just to give some guidance for the
This is more just to give some guidance to people like you and others, of course, to get a feeling over where we are going, because of course, when we bought Natom, because of the more simpler products, lower added value, everything else equal, the gross margin will decrease in the group when you consolidate with approximately 1 percentage unit. But on the other hand, of course, we think that since we are growing, we should have possibilities to continue to improve costing and efficiency. So this goes a little bit against each other. So that's why we've just given some not official guidance, but more, you know, just more meat to the bone, so you get the feeling where we are striving for.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, Thomas. And congratulations on a really strong report.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from a line of Gustav Ostenberg from Carnegie. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and hello, Thomas. One question from my side on the CapEx. Could you elaborate a bit on if there are any particular reasons for the increase? Is this related to sort of anticipation of a better order intake in automated warehouses from very, very low levels, or sort of what's driving the CapEx decision here?
You mean from the customer point of view?
Yes. From your point of view, from expanding your production footprint. Yeah.
Well, we haven't done a lot, I would say, CapEx lately. If I remember correctly, we did 2 million or so in the first quarter, which I think is more or less in line with what we should do, and bearing in mind that we are still finalizing the CapEx in Poland, which has been decided for quite a long time, based on that we want to go from these old-fashioned factories that we bought to a much more modern factory, which is much more efficient. And we are still in the process of doing that. Besides that, we are not doing any big investments at the moment, with one exception, and that is that we have one main line which is being commissioned in the Hillestorp unit as we speak. And that has been taken as CapEx quarter by quarter, so there's probably some parts still left, but not any major figures. So we are not changing any, let's say, strategy to neither to increase CapExes or not to reduce short term because of orders going up or down for a quarter. It's more based on the long term expectation we have on the volume, which basically is a positive one from our point of view. The question is more how quick can it go.
Perfect. Thank you for clarifying that. That was all questions from my end.
Thanks, Gustav.
We currently have no questions coming through. As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one.
All right.
There are no further questions, so I'll hand you back to Thomas to conclude today's conference.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening in. We're very grateful for your interest and for your questions. And looking forward to meet you again then in August when we deliver the second quarter results. So let's see then how it is with the orders and sales. I think Q2 will be in a quarter which will be quite important, because obviously it will decide a lot for the rest of the year. So thank you for listening in, and talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines. Host, please stay on the line and await further instruction.